AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. Okay, this is going to be fun. And somebody hit the record button on these shows, because by the time we get to the end of the week, we will have a library full of reasons why the Biden administration should be supporting the use of more ethanol right now.
Live from the midst of a stern autumn breeze via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Representative Sherry Bustos. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Kevin Ross and Ken McCauley. Right after the news, an update from our own Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Champ Laurie.
All right, Davis. Yeah, the wind is blowing. It's been
blowing, baby.
Most of the night.
It's a stern breeze.
Yeah. And the storm system that made its way over to the East Coast dropped another bomb cyclone. The barometric pressure just bottomed out, and they got hammered with some high winds and heavy rains over there. Volatility in the weather, no question about it. Davis, before we talk more about today, can we talk about tomorrow for just a moment?
Oh, please, let's do. Yes.
Okay.
It's very exciting.
Okay. Yes. Tomorrow, we are partnering with the National Corn Growers Association to talk ethanol, and we have got a great lineup for tomorrow. I'll talk more about that at the end of the show, but obviously, it's such a big topic with so many moving parts. We can't just do a day of ethanol.
One
day
is not enough. One day is
not enough. We're doing
days. People demand more. Huh? How many days?
Days. I don't know. We
days.
Might just
innumerable
figure out how many
days.
It takes.
Yeah, innumerable. I like
we
that.
We are going to do days. And I don't think that NCGA is going to complain too much about today's added coverage. Past NCGA presidents in the Farmer Forum, an update from Sherry Bustos, who is the sponsor of the Next Generation Fuels Act. So this is going to be a fun couple of days. We'll get to some of the details of what's coming your way tomorrow later in the show.
We got something going here, don't we?
We do. Yeah, wow. Let's get to the news.
Well, Chip, global stock markets fell today after Australian inflation rose to a six-year high. And a Chinese newspaper warned more real estate developers are likely to default on bonds while investors look ahead to U.S. economic growth data due out this week. The Dow and the S&P are softer currently, and the NASDAQ is up slightly. Let me just check that real quick. Yes, Dow down 111 points right now. S&P down 3, and looks like the NASDAQ up about 76 points. Chip.
Yeah, a little bit of movement going on out there, and I should have mentioned it right at the start of the show, but some strong gains going on in the corn and soybean markets this morning today, too.
The U.S. Federal Communications Commission voted to cancel permission to operate in the U.S. for a unit of China Telecom, one of three leading communications providers in China. The U.S. ban of China Telecom Corp. signals an escalation of tension. Yeah. The FCC said it was taking action against the state-owned China Telecom Corp's U.S. business because the company was, quote, subject to exploitation, influence, and control by the Chinese government. Now, meanwhile, Chip, geopolitical watchers say U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken's comments are a sign of the U.S. upgrading its support for Taiwan while not yet signaling a major policy change calling for U.N. member states to support the island taking part in international bodies. Beijing protested to Washington over Blinken's remarks.
Yeah, these big political, geopolitical games are played with subtleties. And there are many subtle comments being made in passing that are reinforcing or attempting to reinforce U.S. support for Taiwan. Now, it's to the point where we just need to say it. We're going to make no progress the way that things are happening right now. If we just come right out and say, listen, we support Taiwan, then the negotiations and the conversation can begin.
Well, Chip, unless there are major areas of agreement before President Biden heads to Europe tomorrow, odds are slim for a major framework accord on the nearly $2 trillion Build Back Better bill. The bill is still linked with the physical infrastructure bill, and despite the difficulties building consensus on the human infrastructure component, House Democrats insist the two must remain linked.
Right. Yeah, we'll hopefully get an update from that on that from Representative Bustos, and hopefully Representative Bustos will be able to join us in the next segment, or she could be off voting on this.
Well, the Washington Post reports 2 weeks after Biden administration officials announced steps toward round-the-clock operations at the nation's chief port complex, the backlog of ships anchored off the coast of Southern California has only grown larger. There is little sign that truckers are taking advantage of terminals' extended hours to move containers off the crowded docks. On Monday, the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach said they would impose new daily fees on cargo carriers in a bid to clear the docks and make room for containers stuck on ships offshore. Yeah. Those new daily fees, Chip, what do you reckon that added cost gets passed on to the consumer?
I reckon the odds of that happening are pretty good.
Any chance?
You know, the thing is, the most expensive thing at those docks are the cranes. What is doing the least amount of work right now? The cranes. And it's because they can't get the containers away from the port locations. It's the trucks. We got to get trucks in there and get those containers out.
Well, Iran's president said today that a cyber attack which paralyzed every gas station in the Islamic Republic was designed to get, quote, people angry by creating disorder and disruption as long lines still snake around the pumps one day after the incident began. Chip.
That'll do it. No question about it, Davis. Yes, thank you so much. All right, let's bring in Margie Echelkamp, editor of The Scoop. How are you, Margie?
Hey, good morning, Chip. Doing well.
Okay, the footprint of Tar Spot, it expanded a lot this year. What's the status?
Yeah, kind of becoming a story of not if, but when farmers are going to have to really put a keen eye on tar spot. I had a chance to check in with Nathan Kacheski. He is the plant pathologist at GrowMark, and he shared that it's kind of like head blight or white mold were back in the day. Tar spot is expanding its range in every direction, north, south, east, and west. And once you have it, it becomes part of your management plan, just like gray leaf spot, just like northern corn leaf blight. So what can farmers do? One would be hybrid selection.
Yep.
There are a lot of seed company information that is providing some kind of indexing on susceptibility by hybrid to tar spot. And just because you pick a very less susceptible hybrid, you still might get it, but the severity of the disease, you might not see. What some are reporting have been 60 to 100 bushel year yield decreases this year in the highly infested areas. The other part of this is timing and fungicide application and timing of that application. So typically that VT application that a lot of farmers have adopted this year, they may have thought, well, my VT application didn't work against tar spot, and it may have been an issue of timing. Have to remember that disease triangle. And if tar spot really came in due to late planting or other environmental conditions later after that VT fungicide application was its most effective, you would not have been able to see the control. So scouting, and don't let tar spot scouting necessarily trump your other disease scouting, but integrate into your entire scouting management plan.
Absolutely. And if you're a corn on corn guy, genetic selection, as you mentioned, and boy, the fungicides have just got to be part of the plan. Thank you, Margie. Appreciate you, Chip. Very much. You bet. That is Margie Echelkamp, editor of The Scoop. When we come back, Representative Sherry Bustos, right here on AgriTalk.
For 20 years, the Milk Business Conference has brought together the most progressive dairy operations. Make sure you're there for 2.5 days of content to positively affect the profitability of your dairy. It will be held at a new location November 30th to December 2nd, 2021, in person at the Paris Las Vegas Hotel and Casino. Put your strengths to work as we continue to navigate this ever-evolving industry. View the agenda and register now at www.milkbusinessconference.com.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip flooring. Got Davis Michelson with me. Davis.
Hello.
Marty, yeah, talking about the impact of tar spot on some of the hybrids that may be more susceptible to damage from tar spot, 60 to 100 bushels an acre. You cannot afford to let that happen. Right.
Yep.
Right. So, boy, get with your seed dealers now. Start talking about the genetic selection. Start looking for those hybrids that are going to be a little bit or will be more resistant. Okay, let's get to a conversation right now with Representative Sherry Bustos from the 17th District of Illinois. Representative Bustos, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Happy to do it. Good morning.
Glad that you are here. Let's make sure that everybody understands where the 17th District is, because Representative Bustos, I hear it described as Northwest Illinois, but it's more, it's way more than Northwest Illinois, isn't it?
It's way more than that, 7,000 square miles worth of that. 150 towns altogether. It is mostly rural, other than Rockford, the Quad Cities, and Peoria. But in between, we've got 14 counties altogether. Starts in central Illinois out of Peoria, goes all the way west of the Mississippi, follows the Mississippi River up to where Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois come together, then hugs the Illinois-Wisconsin state line to about the middle part of the state. So, yeah, it's a large district. It's we have close to 10,000 family farms in it. So there's a reason why when I was elected, I wanted to serve on the Ag Committee, and I still serve on the Ag Committee.
Absolutely. And we're glad that you do, because you also represent miles and miles of Mississippi River. And
I do.
It is so important to have someone that is as friendly to agriculture, supporting improvements to the lock and dam system on the Mississippi River, as you have been doing, and we appreciate that for sure. But today we are talking ethanol, and we have talked with you before about the Next Generation Fuels Act, but we've got to get it back out there in front of people again, Representative Bustos, because I think it's such an important piece of legislation. Let's talk about what it is, what it would do for the environment. Let's say that, what it would do for the environment.
Sure. Well, that's a great place to start. And we hear so much talk around our country, and no matter where you live, about these electric vehicles, right? And what we're saying is, hey, between now and when a place like GM is going to have an all electric fleet in, you know, more than what, a decade and a half or so, we have a whole lot of vehicles out there that burn liquid fuel. And what the Next Generation Fuels Act would do, it would require automakers to use a new 95 research octane number, RON. I think you and your listeners all know about that.
Sure.
In model year 2026, and then that would go to 98 RON in model year 2031. And so the whole idea here is that it burns cleaner. This would allow for mid-level ethanol blends such as E25 and E30. And the legislation would require that the year 2026 cars and newer be warranted for use with the 95 RON and ethanol blends of up to 20%. And then that goes up to 98 RON and E25 and E30 by model year 2031. So burns cleaner, greater octane, it reduces carbon emissions from the transportation industry, improves air quality, and increases demand for biofuels. So all of this together is something that we want to make happen. And so we got to work hard on this. I appreciate very much your willingness to continue to talk about this. Please keep beating the drum.
Yeah.
So those listening can contact their own member of Congress and say, hey, get on to this great bill so we can see this all the way through.
Exactly. Yeah, we're happy to do that. And the EVs, in many ways, yet on mass scale, are unproven technology. This is proven technology. And if we can get the automakers and the engine makers to participate, Representative Bustos, we can get to neutral carbon using higher blends of ethanol if we can get the automakers to participate in this, right?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, all of this is about perspective, too. All right, so we have, what, somewhere around 300 million-ish vehicles out on the road today, almost all of which burn liquid fuel. And so this bill, the Next Generation Fuels Act, would increase ethanol demand to almost 20 billion gallons by 2035. It would increase corn demand by up to 1.5 billion bushels, and it would increase engine efficiency by 9%, up to 9%. And you asked the question about what does this do for the environment. Well, all of this together reduces carbon emissions by 1 billion tons just by 2035. So to your point, you've got electric vehicles. We've got about 300 million vehicles on the road. So we've got to have an interim strategy. And I hope what will end up being a long-term strategy as well, because you don't know where these electric vehicles are going to go. We know what the goal is with the administration right now, but we don't know exactly where that's going to go.
Exactly. What is the level of support that you are feeling from other lawmakers, Representative Bustos? Does the Next Gen Fuels Act, is it gaining traction?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, there's always more work we can do. We have 435 members of Congress. Most members of Congress don't come from corn-growing states.
Sure.
And, I mean, we've got, I think there's 28, 29 states, something like that. But you have a lot of members of Congress who don't understand the importance of this. So what our goal is to continue to grow sponsorships of other members of Congress. And, I would say there was actually at the Farm Progress Show, there was a conversation about this. And I can tell you there were some of my friends from the other side of the aisle who were talking about this, and yet we need to make sure that they all sign on as co-sponsors.
Yes.
And there was a lot of support out there as far as like rank and file everyday family farmers. There were stickers that people were wearing, all of that. So I think, reaching out to public health groups, environmental groups,
there you
any kind of ag group is what we're going to need to continue to do.
Yeah. A lawmaker does not need to be from a corn producing state to support the Next Gen Fuels Act, because already what we're doing with ethanol is reducing GHG emissions by 50%. Your bill, your plan would it would reduce it even more. And it's something that if we can sell it on the environmental benefits, that's where we can really generate the bipartisan support, right?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. In some of the conversations that I had at the Farm Progress Show, which was, really about the best 2 days I could have spent over the summer. But we talked about having this breakthrough the mainstream press. And I am more than willing to partner with anybody who wants to talk with, whether it's the New York Times or Wall Street Journal or USA
Sure.
Today or, any of the magazines or television programs. But we really do have to break out beyond just the agricultural press to
Right.
say, there are some real benefits to our environment, to the air that we breathe. In all of that. So I think we're going to need to do that to continue to grow support on this. The way legislation works, is, as you know, is you've got to have, it can't just be a one-party type of,
right.
of bill. It has to be bipartisan, and then it has to, while we can have success in the House, we need to have success in the Senate as well. So
that's
we still have work to do, and that's where your listeners can come into to play here. And I'm doing a full-on shout out that that we need to keep talking about this.
You bet, and we will. We've only got about a minute left here, Representative Bustos, but I got to ask you, is there a vote scheduled for the Build Back Better and for the infrastructure bill and the reconciliation bill?
Well, I have started each of the last 2 weeks being very optimistic that we were going to get a vote on the infrastructure bill. And that would be followed by a vote, at least on the parameters of what the Build Back Better Act looks like. And I feel like, as optimistic as I've been, then I see a headline that, You know, you have yet another group that's holding out. I'm getting increasingly, I guess, emotional about this because we need to do this. I just wrote an op-ed that Newsweek published last night. Take a look at it, if you would, okay. And I can send that over to you as well. But where it talks about when I'm at home, you know, in places like Moline, Illinois, or if I'm in Fulton County or Whiteside County, wherever I am, I don't have anybody talking about reconciliation or the BIF or the Byrd Rule or all that stuff that people talk about in Washington. They just want us to get this done, and that's my goal is to try to make something happen.
Representative Bustos, thank you so much.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. B, it's big move in the corn market. What's going on?
Yeah, explosive, Chip. Traded lower overnight on a general commodity weakness. But that has dissipated, and corn is fully trading on its own at the moment. Pushed above the 100-day moving average, which we spiked yesterday but didn't close above. Pushed above yesterday's highs, and both those levels we found buy stops above. Fundamental support coming from ethanol production numbers, a 10,000 barrel per day surge, and the highest in nearly 4 years. So the beginning of December of 2017 was the last time we had a weekly production number bigger, and that's given us some fundamental support this morning.
Man, it's a big move there. When we got the D's contract back up to 560 as we speak, this is we're knocking on levels that people have been talking about for some time that be cool if we could get back to. Well, here we are. We've also got some strength in soybeans and wheat.
Yeah, so the buying in corn is definitely spilling over. Soybeans are trading with double-digit gains in many of the front-end contracts. And so that market is responding. The meal market's higher as well. Soy oil is weaker, so we got some spreading action going on in the soy complex this morning. And then you mentioned wheat. Continue to see just the spring wheat market move up to new highs, winter wheat following along.
Yeah, we've got feeder cattle under pressure because of the strength in corn, but live cattle actually moving to the upside. Hogs under some pressure. Anything to note there?
I think that feeder cattle, obviously, the reaction to the corn market is the big thing there. And aside from that October contract, which is expiring, everything else is sharply lower.
Thanks, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
A little cold weather never hurt anybody, but with typical number 2 diesel, it can do a number on your field equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. That's how Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced optimizes cold weather performance. Or stick with your fair weather friend, typical number 2. Your choice. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Actually, instead of making that phone call, get on Twitter or send me an email. If you're on Twitter, just make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I will be sure to see it. Or if you would like to send me an email, it is host@agritalk.com. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We've got Davis with us.
Hello.
Just finished up a great conversation with Representative Sherry Bustos from Illinois.
She's sponsor, on it.
Yeah, sponsor of the Next Generation Fuels Act. And we're going to continue the conversation about what is going on in the ethanol markets and so on. Let's get started by bringing Ken McCauley Kent McCauley from Kansas on and into the show. Kent, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
Hey, Kent. Hi, I'm doing well. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. We're down to the last two or three days of harvest. One big field of corn and 80 acres of soybeans left. It's light rain here this morning, but it looks like we're in for a couple days of rain. So we can see the end in sight, and it's really good to see that.
Yeah, and everything been going okay with this corn crop? I know that it got a little dry on you mid-season.
Oh, that dry spell must have given corn and soybeans both some character, because we've had exceptional corn and bean yields, and you combine that with this price, and especially today, it's turning out to be a really good year. So we're really thankful for that. But it's going well. No breakdowns either.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. Hey, find a piece of wood and knock on it right now after saying that.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, I used to joke around that soybeans are ornery and they like a little bit of stress at the right time. I'm starting to feel the same way about corn, Ken. It's the genetics and the management that you guys put on the crop now. I'm not saying that it's bulletproof, but it feels like in 2021 we took another step forward in improving the corn crop's ability to yield even in stressful conditions.
Oh, I really think we have. And, you know, you go back to when corn started going up in price and we saw all the research going into the corn hybrids. And I said at the time, you know, soybeans haven't kept up. And then all of a sudden the soybean research got coming to market, and we had all those things. So we're seeing both of those research things come in to benefit us at harvest time and all these yields. So there's more to come, plus all the new things we're doing and regarding the soil and all the things we're doing with the no-till and saving moisture. So I think it's really good.
Right. Okay, very cool. Looks like we've got Kevin Ross with us now over in Western Iowa. Kevin, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Good, man. I'm glad you're here. How are things going with the harvest?
We're gaining. It's been a little bit of a slog here in Southwest Iowa. It seems like not a lot of great beaning days, but most of the beans are out in our area, and a lot of great yields and corn. You know, corn starting to move pretty quick, but you know, really, really good yields in our area for sure.
Right. All right. Hey, we've got this farmer forum going. Just a reminder that it is sponsored by America's Conservation Ag Movement. Of course, just go to www.agweb.com/ACAM to learn more about it. And we are partnering tomorrow with the National Corn Growers Association for a day of ethanol. But I wanted to get a head start. Couldn't ask for anybody better than past presidents of the NCGA, Ken McCauley and Kevin Ross, to join us for this. And we are going to get to the Next Gen Fuels Act in a moment. But right there at the end of the conversation with Representative Bustos, Ken, I know you were on and listening, but she said that when she goes home, and believe me, the work that Representative Bustos is doing, I agree with a lot of what she's doing. But when she says that people don't talk about the BIF or the infrastructure bill or the triple B, the reconciliation bill, I disagree. When I get away from work and go out and talk with people, Ken, it's like all they talk about. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's talking a different tune than I'm hearing. And you have to bring this stuff up, because people don't, you know, most people don't bring it up. But I think farmers and a lot of people are losing sleep over all this stuff that's going, and especially the way they're talking about paying for it. I know I am.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin, I mean, is it part of the regular conversation for you?
No, absolutely. You know, the infrastructure bill, I think, and just the general cost that they projected, you know, on both the you know, the first one and then the social side of it as well, and that second bill that they you know, had pushed forth too. You know, those two things together, you have a whole lot of people, I think, out in across the country in general, the folks that I talk to across the U.S. that look at both these things with a price tag that is just absolutely way too high. And I think you're seeing, you know, some of those negotiations happen and some reality set in with some of the legislators. But we got to have a little more of that come to fruition before I think anything's going to move.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got a feeling, Ken, from what I can hear in your voice, I got a feeling that you are addressing or talking about one of the latest proposals on how to pay for this, and that's the taxation of unrealized capital gains for billionaires. That's where it stands right now.
Yeah, just billionaires, nobody else, of course. Yes, you're right. It's got my attention yesterday when I heard it. We had a small meeting of a group of us last night, and that was our main topic. You know, how do you do that? How? It's just this, that idea should be thrown in the trash right now, because a lot of people off the farm don't understand. It's more than just billionaires. It's more than just farmers. It's, you talk about, you get taxed on an unrealized gain that you have today. 2 years from now, things are down. You know, how does that work? Do you get the money back?
You know, do you get you the know money what back? That answer is. Right. Kevin, this is it's very concerning, and they are playing it off as I think the latest number that I saw was that it would impact 700 Americans. 700. Well, within 10 years, it's going to be down to middle America, and they're going to be taxing the increased value of your home. That's how this stuff works.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. It starts at a 700 number, and as Ken said, you know, how do you make that something that that actually you know is constructed that way to hit only those 700? That's simply a very difficult task to do. And even then, is it something that gets spread across middle America, you know, very soon after? I think anytime you open the door to these types of things, you're definitely looking for that in the future too. So definitely, you know, you got to be concerned. You got to be very concerned about how they're going to move this forward and what type of pay fors they're looking for. That's for sure.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and when we talk about the numbers being as big as they are, And you went there, Kevin, and I think it's important that we do go there. I was talking with a group over at Ohio State University last week, a group of students there, and we were trying to figure out exactly how to explain what a trillion is. Well, if we start counting and we count off a number every second, in day 12, we will get to 1 million. So it takes almost 12 days to get to a million seconds. To get to a billion?
I don't have that many fingers and toes, Chip.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm going to lose track at some point. But to get to a billion, seconds, it takes 32 years. 32 years. So a trillion is three more zeros, guys. That means that to get to a trillion seconds, it will take us, we'll get together again in 32,000 years to get to 1 trillion seconds. It's a massive number.
There's no way to extract $1.5 trillion out of those 700 people on a tax percentage. It's just, that's crazy to think that that's the only people that are going to get taxed. It's insane.
That's right. And it's something that we all need to be aware of. And you know, just call your lawmakers. We've only got about a minute here, but before we need to take a break, and we'll talk about the Next Gen Fuels Act in the next segment. But, Kevin, E15, year-round availability, it's still something that we're fighting for, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and I just, you know, can't believe we're kind of in the same position we were a couple years ago, it feels like, and fighting these same fights, and it's a broken record some days, Chip, but we got to get these things done. It's the best thing we can do for the environment, and certainly for, you know, for rural America, and it's good for the gas tank, tank and pocketbook.
Yeah, and it takes our 5 billion gallons, 20 billion gallons, if we can in total demand, Ken, that'll help everybody out.
Oh, it really will. And, you know, we're lucky here. We can fill up most of the time on E15 or higher blends because of our location. But, yeah. You know, we were double-crossed on this campaign promise that Biden would help ethanol, and he's not doing what he promised he would do. So we got to work on that, too, and make sure these things happen.
Okay, let's talk about that when we come back. The Is President Biden the supporter of ethanol that campaigning or candidate Biden was? We'll talk about that. And then, of course, the Next Gen Fuels Act. Is it a transition act, or is it something that we should look at for a little more permanency? We'll discuss that next on AgriTalk.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
America's Conservation Ag Movement brings farmers and the sustainability community together around the future of farming by bringing profitable, planet-friendly farming practices into the mainstream. The movement is organized by Trust in Food, a Farm Journal initiative in partnership with the Farm Journal Foundation, and it is sponsored by the National Corn Growers Association. To find out who else sponsors ACAM, go to www.agweb.com/ACAM. Two past presidents of the NCGA are on the Farmer Forum right now. Ken McCauley from Kansas, Kevin Ross from Iowa. Guys, let's jump right back into a point that Ken was making. I'm going to do this with you first, Ken. Is President Biden the supporter of ethanol that candidate Biden was?
I don't think so. I think he campaigned against the oil industry. Now he's trying to make nice with them and evidently getting the job done. So I feel like it was a shallow or even hollow promise the way things are going right now, especially when he's EPA administrator is doing the things they're doing to us. So, you know, we're an established system in the whole country.
Yeah, we should have had the RVOs by now, Kevin. They floated them out there. They didn't look all that positive. They pulled them back. Now it looks like we're still waiting for the renewable volume obligations, but it's kind of a confusing period right here, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And if you're a ethanol plant or a biodiesel plant, you're sitting out there wondering, you know, about the future. And these industries have been in these positions way too many times over the course of the last couple decades. And it seems to me like that the government should be able to do better on certainty for industries that, again, as Ken said, are established, well established. They're parts of the fuel supply chain that that have been there for a long time. And really, I think, farmers and the industry themselves, the ethanol and biodiesel industries themselves have shown that they can supply, very large volumes of these, 15 billion gallon number that we should be, throwing out there for ethanol and above 2 billion gallons in that range for biodiesel somewhere. We can supply these numbers and we can certainly, have healthy industries to move forward. And it just seems like it shouldn't be this difficult, but here we go again. And I'd like to see their support much better.
Yeah. Investment in the ethanol industry, investment in the biodiesel industry was driven by in part the RFS and the law that the RFS is. And the original intent of the law, it was not driven by what could turn out to be some flaky interpretation of what that law is. That's not how a law is supposed to work, fellas. The investment was driven by the fact that the RFS is the law and 15 billion gallons should be 15 billion gallons. Okay. Now, with that said, we need to get those RVOs out. And we need to support the next generation fuels act that is supported by sponsored by Representative Bustos. Ken, what's your take on it?
Well, I think she's got a, well, we all have a great idea with this. I think we've overused the word ethanol. It's an old word. Let's get on with the new. I really think it shows that we all have the vision of gasoline and ethanol in the future of our sites. I think we've got a lot of things going for us. We need more support. She's doing a great job. But the other side of it is, this is how we got there, Chip. We started out, when I got into the NCGA, 1.5 billion gallons was our ethanol usage at the time. So it's going to be a long road, but we've got to keep on it and keep working it towards the right direction.
Yep. Kevin, what's your level of support for the next gen?
Oh, 100%. You know, I think I think rural America and farmers and just, you know, folks in general across America should get behind an act like this. And any time that we can look towards, you know, the future of positive build out and really, you know, I think, you know, meticulous build out and growth of an industry that, again, has shown that we can achieve high levels of growth fast. And this is not, you know, not in the same manner. I think this is a very thoughtful approach as to how we, you know, gain, you know, increase, you know, higher blends and really, you know, get back in the game, you know, with flex fuel vehicles and really how we can move things forward to, I dare say compete with electronic vehicles because, you know, in my opinion, these are, they're all going to be part of the marketplace, but this is definitely, you know, the future for biofuels.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that we can move, you know, move these industries forward in a positive manner.
Yeah. You know, the in a roundabout kind of way, you guys, shouldn't oil refineries be supporting this next gen? Otherwise, they're saying we're supporting the let's flip the switch and go to EVs, right?
I hope they're listening to the show, right?
Yeah. It should be. And Kevin knows what I'm going to say here is correct, that we've got to be sure that we don't lose ethanol's place in this by the details or we don't get screwed is the way I put it, because these things, as they move along, things get in there, just like the EPA being in charge of the RVOs. I said this all along, the EPA is not the person to have the final say here, and here we are today. So this just, our leaders need to really watch this, that we don't get the shaft in the process.
Yep.
Well, Ken's right.
We need the automakers, Kevin.
Yeah, you need the automakers. You need, you know, the oil industry, as you said, you know, you'd like to think they'd be on board with this, but there's certainly a lot of mistrust over a long period of time with, you know, with the ag industry and the way that when we've dealt with these policies in the past. But do we need them? Can we be helpful to them, I think, in the whole process as well? For sure. I mean, liquid fuels is a place that we share. And for us, I think moving forward, automakers as well as big oil, you'd like to think we could all get on the same page on some of these things.
Yep, that's right. Ken, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Kevin, thank you. Appreciate you as well, man.
Thanks,
great,
buddy.
Thanks, Chip.
All right, Ken McCauley and Kevin Ross on the Farmer Forum. Okay, a day of ethanol coming your way tomorrow. We are going to have NCGA current president Chris Edgington. We're going to have Emily Score from Growth Energy. We're going to have Jeff Cooper from RFA. We're going to have Jim Wiesmeyer. We got a big day, and we got Brian Split this afternoon.